Good morning, Greg.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for joining us here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. My guest is Greg Scommel. He is author of Chasing Shadows, My Life Tracking the Great White Shark. Of course, as we hit the beach this summer, shark encounters seem to be on the rise. Just recently, 5 reported shark bites in just 2 days at some of New York's most popular beaches, so much so that the state of New York now allotting $1 million for shark monitoring drones. But Greg is more than just a shark expert. He is an accomplished marine biologist, an underwater explorer, a photographer, and now, of course, an author. And, of course, Shark Week is this week on the Discovery Channel. So, Greg, what's our fascination with the great white sharks? And I guess the second part of the question is, why are we seeing more frequently encounters with the great white sharks along the East Coast?
Well, I think our fascination stems from the fact that, here we have a big, massive top predator, lives in the ocean, he's evolved over millions of years, and can potentially hurt us. And people are kind of drawn to those kinds of animals. I think arguably the white shark is one of the most charismatic, fascinating, yet fearsome species on the planet. And we are seeing more and more of them each year over the last couple of decades, particularly off the coast of New England, including New Hampshire. And that's because over the last 50 years, we have restored or are restoring their natural prey, and that would be seal populations. And so people are going to the beaches anywhere in New England these days will occasionally see seals. And white sharks are drawn to these areas because they feed on seals. So if you got people at the beach, you got white sharks at the beach feeding on seals, you got likelihood of people seeing them more and more frequently, and that's exactly what's happening.
So if you believe in climate change, like a lot of people do, I think I do believe in that as well, climate change has warmed a lot of the waters around the East Coast, and that's changed, I think, the shark migration patterns. Would I be correct in saying that they're closer to the shore? I saw a video the other day, actually, Greg, that I forget where it was. It could have been Florida. It could have been off the coast of New York that had a shark within 10 feet of the shore, and people were swimming around it. They did not even notice the shark was there, but the fact that the climate change is warming things up a little bit, does that affect the situation where sharks are getting closer to us as well?
Well, it really depends on species, quite honestly. So if we're talking about the great white shark, we know historically it has occurred from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to Newfoundland. So, we're not seeing a redistribution of that species in terms of its movement north. We are seeing it coming close to shore, and I don't believe that's driven by climate change as much as it's that are coming farther north, namely black tip and spinner sharks. We've been seeing more of those off the coast of Long Island, for example. And that does appear to be a redistribution associated with, or I should say an expansion of their range associated with climate change. And we're seeing some of these shifts in distribution among a number of species of fish, which, of course, includes the sharks. But the white shark, kind of a different story. They're drawn close to shore because that's where their prey lives.
So let me ask you this, Greg. I mean, people go swim with the dolphins on vacations. You don't encourage anybody to be swimming with the sharks. I mean, there's still something that we have to be aware of, and I would say stay away from and be aware of that.
Well, there are probably people swimming right now with sharks, and they don't know it, I think the good news to that is, the sharks are not here to bite people. They're just doing their thing, which is feeding on fish and, ignoring people. But there are legitimate eco tours that allow folks in many parts of the world to swim with sharks. The best eco tours are in countries that regulate those activities. I've done it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's educational. It's a positive experience. And if it's regulated properly, I think it's a sustainable practice. But as I said, most people are swimming with sharks and they don't even realize.
That's interesting that you say that. Greg Scommel is our guest, author of Chasing Shadows, My Life Tracking the Great White Shark. And of course, he's part of Shark Week as well, which starts this week on the Discovery Channel as well. Always a popular segment on the Discovery Channel, our fascination with the great white sharks. So in all your research and all your studies of the great white sharks over the decades, what do you think is the most important fact that we don't take for granted, but that fact that we don't know about sharks? I mean, what is something that we don't know about the great white shark that we should know about, I guess?
Well, I think people don't realize this animal is, it can be fearsome and it can scare us, but it's a fish, right? And its job in the marine ecosystem is to regulate from the top down. So it's a top predator. It's a long-lived species. we've shown that it lives in excess of 7 years. People don't realize that this fish lives 70 years. It's capable of really broad migrations, you know, like I said, from the Gulf of Mexico all the way from Newfoundland, from our coastline all the way to the Azores. It dives to depths as great as 3,000 feet to a really broad temperature range, you know, every day when it goes and does these offshore migrations. So it's an amazing, fascinating animal. You know, people that I've talked to, some of them don't really like the presence of great numbers of seals. You know, they interfere with fishing activities. They're considered to be a nuisance in some areas. And I always encourage them is to let the white shark do its job. You know, it's the job of the white shark to prune the population, to keep the ocean in balance. And therefore, it's a critical part of the ocean puzzle. So, you know, we have to learn to coexist with this animal so that it can do its job.
Right. What's the, in your research and in your studies, what's the, how big do great white sharks go as far as length goes? And what's the biggest you've seen?
Well, I guess the largest accurately measured, you know, you hear stories of 25 footers, 30 footers. These are not true. The largest accurately measured was just shy of 20 feet long. And I saw a specimen like that when I was diving off Mexico and doing a show for Shark Week a few years ago. It was named Deep Blue. As a matter of fact, we named that shark working with my Mexican colleagues. The biggest I've ever seen here on the East Coast was off the coast of Cape Cod, a shark we named Curly, and Curly was 18 feet long, you know, and it's one thing to talk about the length of these animals, Mike, but I'll tell you, it's amazing to see their size, their mass. It's incredible when you think about the girth of these creatures and you look at that and you go, wow, that is, it does really look like a small bus.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I'd like to view them, but as far offshore as possible, Greg, if you don't mind.
Well, there are many people who feel that way.
I hear you. Hey, join us as we celebrate Shark Week with shark expert Greg Scommel, author of Chasing Shadows, My Life Tracking the Great White Shark. He joins us from Massachusetts today and Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. Check out the new book, Chasing Shadows, My Life Tracking the Great White Shark. Interesting stuff, Greg, especially at this time of year. Thanks for joining us on the Pulse of New Hampshire. Do appreciate it and enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.